This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Some experts say the massive rescue effort to save five people on the submersible that disappeared on a trip to see the Titanic wreckage is now a mission impossible. Former U.S. Naval Commander David Marquet says 96 hours of oxygen most likely ran out this morning.
I think the most likely scenario, unfortunately, is they will not be found in time.
More from correspondent Cammie McCormick.
An international coalition of rescuers are searching the area. A French research vessel is the latest to arrive. Even if the submersible is located, it's unclear how it can be retrieved, given the depth of the water and the extreme conditions.
Art Trambanis, professor that teaches marine science and policy at the University of Delaware.
What is most disturbing about this is how suddenly and completely the communication was lost.
Another Republican has joined the race for the party's presidential 2023 nomination. Former Texas Congressman Will Hurd, fierce critic of Donald Trump, announced his intentions on CBS Mornings, where he weighed in on the classified documents case.
No, I would not pardon him. And people that are talking about pardoning him right now, when the case hasn't even started, is insane to me.
At least four people have been killed in a line of severe storms that churned up multiple tornadoes, hurricane-force winds, and softball-sized hail in Texas. Part of the small northwest town of Matador was flattened. Survivors will also have to deal with extreme temperatures. CBS's Jared Hill.
Parts of Texas are bracing for a stretch of extreme heat.
Signs of heat exhaustion include profuse sweating, dizziness, weakness, pale or clammy skin, a fast, weak pulse, and nausea or vomiting.
With days of triple-digit temperatures in the forecast.
More than 220,000 customers in Texas have no power. We could hear from the Supreme Court this morning on several significant cases. One of them could be a decision on President Biden's student loan forgiveness program that would cancel up to $20,000 in debt. This year's Kennedy Center nominees include some very familiar names.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long.
There's Dionne Warwick and Billy Crystal.
I have decided that for the rest of the day, we are going to talk like this.
Also, Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees, Queen Latifah, and singer Renee Fleming. The president of the Kennedy Center calls the group an extraordinary mix of individuals who have redefined their art forms. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The Dow is down 12 points. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call was in La Crosse yesterday to drum up some support for the Office of School Safety. Republicans of the Joint Finance Committee have decided to not fund it in the next budget. Call says he's asking for $2.2 million over the next 2 years to fund the office, which handles the Speak Up, Speak Out campaign that directs information to law enforcement and other services. The state's Department of Justice says more than 1,700 schools and law enforcement agencies received at least one tip from the program, with all but nine of the state's 72 counties receiving at least one tip in the past year. A man's body was found in the Mississippi River near La Crosse on Tuesday. According to the La Crosse County Sheriff's Office, the body appeared to have been in the water for some time and may have passed through a lock and dam upriver. The body was sent to Mayo Clinic in Rochester for analysis. And an air quality advisory is in place today for all of Wisconsin due to unhealthy levels of ozone. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
that?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
If you're being really honest with yourself, do you value wealthy people's lives over poor people's lives? 844-967-2789. And I ask this because if you reflect on where your attention was this week, have you found yourself fascinated by this Titanic submersible story and not really thinking about the capsized migrant boats?
500 people.
500 people. And it's not an isolated incident, but it's very much a tale of two ships right now. And I'm just curious, if you're being honest with yourself, which story are you more fascinated by? 844-967-2789. Or why do you think the media is in such a frenzy over one versus the other? They're both tragedies.
Yes.
They both sound like absolutely maybe one of the worst ways to ever go out. But one feels like an expedition of wealthy people pushing the envelope of adrenaline rushes. And one was the plight of people running away from home because they no longer felt like they could stay there. But I would love to hear, because I think this is a fascinating topic that I feel like has been getting a lot of attention online, at least in the parts of the interwebs that I find myself on, of almost a criticism of how much attention we're giving this missing submersible, which I didn't even know was a word until this week.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm sure I did somewhere in the back of my mind, but as far as, I'm not sure submersible has been used this much in, if you Google search that, more than it has this week. But if you have no idea what I'm talking about, time and oxygen are running out as officials are still searching for the Open Gate vessel that it was on an expedition to see the Titanic wreckage. And so they have what, less than?
I think time is up.
Time is up.
I think time.
Was it up this morning at 6 a.m.? I think I maybe have heard.
As far as how the oxygen levels.
Yeah. So the missing vessel, and it included a British billionaire, two members of a wealthy Pakistani family. I think everyone on the boat was incredibly wealthy because it cost $250,000 even to go down into this thing.
Per person.
Per person. And, you know, this story, though, all week has taken over the airwaves, It's prompted an international response. And, you know, it's, and all of the details of this are wild to me as far as, you know, it's so much money to do it. It had not, this craft, this like, whatever, air, like submersible, had not been approved by any regulatory body whatsoever. And, you know, they were going to go see, and like, it's just the anyone who would actually go to do this is wild to me. But it's just, the media is in a frenzy over it, and they're calling for like any submarine expert they can get a hold of. They're looking to even trying to like find and like interview James Cameron for his wisdom on this. And it's just taken this stronghold over the narrative. And then meanwhile, you know, human rights advocates are pointing out to the fact that multiple, not just one, but multiple migrant shipwrecks in the past few weeks have failed to get much attention or resources.
I was going to say, so, the amount of money, the amount of money that is being spent on this submersible is going to be, I can't even wait until the final bill comes in on this.
And, yeah.
And who is that on the American taxpayer then?
Well, I don't know how much, I don't know how much America is actually helping. This is like UK. Like I actually saw some video last night as far as like criticisms of the US for not doing more from a UK standpoint. Like I'm not sure that we're necessarily on the hook for a lot of this. But I could be wrong with that. But you know, in this is more of the international response of, and so just to get back to the story of the then last week, at least 82 migrants coming from Syria, Egypt, and Pakistan drowned off the coast of Greece after authorities failed to intervene or intervened fast enough. 500 others, so 10x of the five people who are in this submersible, have not been found and at this point are believed to be dead. Yesterday, at least 35 migrants reportedly died after an inflatable boat sank before reaching the Canary Islands. And, you know, what's the difference between these two? Money. Like gobs and gobs of wealth for some of these billionaires where like $250,000 is like not much to, you know.
It's lunch.
It's an afternoon. Compared to desperate people leaving, you know, places where they're starving, where they're persecuted, trying to get a better life. And it just feels like a very disproportionate response. And it feels like this happens a lot. Like, who do we care about? And is it because, like, I always wonder, is it because our brains, it's easier to wrap around five individual people or this kind of like unique, weird story of why people would do this versus a tragedy of 500 people, 500 like nameless, faceless people versus we know who these guys are and we can dig more into who each of them are and their backstories and stuff. Like, I don't understand why one gets so much more attention than the other. And so I'm looking to you. If you have any thoughts on this, at least, or just being honest, like, have you been like fascinated by this story this week? Is it something that you've been catching up with, or is it something that's just kind of been like spoon fed to you because the media seems to be fascinated with it?
Yeah.
844-967-2789.
There's certainly something about the exoticness of it, I think, that is part of what pulls people in. You know, they're thousands of feet underwater.
Yeah.
And there is just a movie element to it.
Well, especially it'd be a movie element to it if they were rescued.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
But it's, you know, and it just reminds me of, in general, the decision of uber wealthy people to, like, push the limits. Like, I think there's like a record number of people who are like Mount Everest is what they're. Did you see that as well?
It's like 17 people, I think, died this year on Everest.
Oh, yeah. No, a record amount of people have died, but also the amount of people who are applying to be able to climb it and like reach the summit is up there. You know, the millions of like the certain billionaires who are like itching to go to space, which will cost millions of dollars. And so the uber 1% wealthy and their itch to defy odds and spend tons of money doing it despite the danger, and then our, you know, willingness to be fascinated by their recklessness. Cause like, as I said, this Ocean Gate was not approved by any regulatory body whatsoever. Like, I don't know how he convinced these guys to even do this, because as one submarine expert said, I actually think it's one of the guys who's on the boat or on the submarine was like, oh yeah, like when you're that far underwater, if anything goes wrong, you're dead before you even know it.
The pressure is unbelievable. And yeah, if there's any leak, anything, it's not going to last. The pressure is going to kill you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jim from Appleton is on the line. Hey, Jim, what do you think?
Hi, guys. I once heard from a not very nice person that 5 deaths is a tragedy. More than 20 is a statistic. And that's probably why we're getting more news on the billionaires than the 500 that disappeared in the half-sized boat.
So you think it's like the storytelling? Like it's an easier story, like this, it's an easier story to grab onto when it's fewer people versus more, like more people?
I think you hit it on the head. You can get it when it's only a few people, you can get into each one of their life stories. When it's 98, well, you can't break into their, you could, but the news media is not going to bother to dig into their life story.
Yeah.
Jim, I don't mean to cut you off. We have a bad connection here. So if you want to try and call back, that would be great. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. I'm going to say that, and you actually already said this, we get people that have got a lot of money, and they hire the best guides with that money, and then they go up and climb Mount Everest, which is a very dangerous proposition. Mm-hmm. I know, because I have been on mountains on 5 continents in this world.
Wow.
And have done a lot of climbing. And, that can be very dangerous. This is even more so if you have any equipment failure, as they pointed out. If you have any equipment failure, there aren't really not a lot of backups. You're done. And I'm sure these people must have been told about this when they started this. Quite a few years ago now, there was a book written about it, Into Thin Air.
Yes, and, great book.
Read the page. Yeah, it is. That's essentially what happened, was a whole bunch of people hired some guides to get them up to the top of this mountain, and the guides apparently decided that it was to their advantage to take a chance on going up to the top, even though the timing wasn't exactly really good. They got caught.
Absolutely. Jack, we're coming up against a break, but I have to say, I feel like you have, from the little I know about you, from you calling into our shows and civic media shows, you seem like a fascinating person. I can't wait to someday meet you, but we have to take a break. But we'd love to hear from you about the submersible and why we're so fascinated by it. 844-967-2789. God's golden show.
Comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186. All into it, Gingras Thompson & Wachs,
GTWLawyers.com. This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella.
I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
For today, sunshine and a high near 91. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 66. Slight chance of a storm Friday, otherwise mostly sunny, and again a high near 91. For Friday night, slight chance of a storm, low of 67. Some scattered storms Saturday with a high near 90. With weather, I'm Corey Hartman.
It's 67 right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and because we couldn't help ourselves, we are talking about the media frenzy around the submersible missing submersible that I think at this point
doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good. But, you know, what the discussion I've seen unfold is the disproportionate media attention and resources that have gone to find these five billionaires, as compared to the migrant ships, the migrant like capsized ships that have happened, you know, off the coast of the Canary Islands or Greece, and where 500 people are missing from one boat. And even as soon recently as yesterday, 35 migrants are dead after being on an inflatable boat. And, you know, just trying to wrap my head around, like, why do we do this? And it's even, extended to our narrative shows, right? There's always a criticism of the fact that White Lotus, Succession, what are some of the other really popular shows that are just kind of talking about the antics and ridiculousness of the super wealthy
the
and the things that they
choose?
Yes, the Kardashians. That's not fictional. That's real.
Oh,
but
some of it's fictional. Anyway,
fair. You really have it out for them.
I do.
They live in your brain rent-free too much, Jane.
But that's another thing you can't avoid. It's like ants.
I feel like I avoid it.
They're everywhere. It's like they're like mold. Anyway, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to check in on this.
We have a couple comments on the YouTube and Facebook live stream. You are always welcome to watch us instead of just listen to us. If you find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube at As Goes Wisconsin, our friend Joe said, one could easily argue that society is valuing the lives of the rich more than the poor. However, had these five persons been reported as dead right away when the story broke, I doubt we'd be talking about it as much. The fact that the five were caught in a living nightmare of being presumably stuck at the bottom of the pitch black ocean with no means of escaping, just waiting to die of oxygen deprivation, is something that struck a lot of people because it's absolutely terrifying. And I will say that's true.
Absolutely, Joe. You're absolutely right.
Because it's basically the size of a minivan, which is not, you know, you get five people in there. And just, I will say, yes, that is an absolutely terrifying way to, it's being buried alive, right?
Yes.
And so that could be, it could just be the anomaly of this situation.
Right.
But that doesn't explain the disproportionate resources. It's one thing for the media to glom onto the story in one way, in one more than the other, because of these, the weirdness of it. But as far as the like search and rescue mission, one being so much more than the other, I think is also very telling of whose lives matter.
Are important. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. From the 414 on the text line, Kristen, what is a more sexy and captivating story? Rich and famous people in trouble or poor struggling people in trouble? Unfortunately, in a caring Christian nation, we always gravitate towards the rich and the famous. Says a lot about us and our priorities.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And then Aaron K on the YouTube live stream. For me, I did not really know much about the submersible until last night, this morning, but that is because of the media that I know as much as I do now. The other boats, I do not hear anything about. I had heard about them. Like, they were covered in some of the newsletters that I read as far, and some updates, but certainly not a lot. Certainly not every single morning of an update and like the countdown of, you know, 20, we have 48 hours, there's 24 hours, there's 10 hours left until it's going to be a lost cause. And then we got Tony Zimmerman. The submersible issue requires no prior knowledge of a bigger issue. The migrant drownings is a part of a huge global issue that people don't want to learn about.
Not wrong there, Tony.
There is a very fair point.
Rico from Rock County joining us on the line. Hey, Rico, what do you want to say?
Hey, my thoughts on it is I feel as though the people in the submersible did this for their own bragging rights. And the people in the ships did it for their own human rights. And yep. That's pretty much all I got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Rico.
Thanks, Rico. Yeah, and it's similar to what Tony said. It's like there's just sometimes we just don't want to think about it. Because it's just that.
So it's over,
icky. It's overwhelming. And I think there's something with this story where there's a fair amount of people who are poking fun at it. The submersible story. Not poking fun, but, you know, I mean, because have you heard this whole other offshoot? Is that the stepson of one of the guys who's trapped in the boat, like, tweeted out that he, like, his stepdad would have wanted him to go to this Blink-182 concert. And then, like, Cardi B responded to him being like, what's wrong with you? And then he responded to Cardi B about, like, how her music's trash. Like, there's this whole other side story about this stepson who's, like, tweeting his way through his grief, but doesn't really seem like that much grief is going on.
Wow.
It's very weird. And so this is spun off into a lot of different directions, but we got to take another break. When we come back, we haven't done this for a little bit, but we're going to do the good, the bad, and the whoopsie-daisy from the Pentagon, but stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Many experts presume the oxygen ran out today for five people who disappeared in a submersible on a trip to the Titanic wreckage. Marine science expert Art Trembena says it's still important to try to retrieve the vessel.
We're talking almost 13,000 feet at the Titanic site, so this would be a recovery that really is unmatched.
They've rolled out the red carpet at the White House for a foreign leader. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president welcomed India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi to the White House Wednesday night, ahead of a formal state visit today. On the agenda, India's neighbor to the north, China, and its growing economic military, and technological dominance.
Among this year's Kennedy Center honorees, Billy Crystal, who tells CBS Mornings, you can't be afraid to fail.
It's like golf. You can have a lousy round and hit one last shot and you go, oh, I'm coming back.
Queen Latifah, Dionne Warwick, and Barry Gibb will also be honored. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin AG Josh Call was in La Crosse on Wednesday to drum up support for the Office of School Safety, which Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee have decided not to fund in the next budget. Call says he's seeking $2.2 million over the next 2 years to fund the office, which handles the Speak Up, Speak Out campaign. That directs information to law enforcement and other services. The state's Department of Justice says more than 1,700 schools and law enforcement agencies received at least one tip from the program, with all but nine of the state's 72 counties receiving at least one tip in the past year. Today is the start of Country Fest in Kidat. The event, which began in 1987, had select performances for ticket holders last night. The main events are the next 3 days, including headliners John Party, Dan and Shay, and the Zac Brown Band. After recent updates to the facilities, a record crowd of 100,000 people is expected this year over the course of the weekend. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are doing some good, bad, and whoopsie-daisy of headlines for today. For the good, I have two. I have some good news for people who would like to not be pregnant and for people who are. So,
look at that.
Win-win.
Yeah.
So, in Wisconsin, the Assembly approved a bill to allow pharmacists to prescribe birth control, which is something I did not see coming, because I think there's a lot of us who are thinking there is a part of the conservative movement that would like to, after overturning Roe, their next move is to come after birth control. And yet, it was a bipartisan bill. They passed it last night, and it will now allow pharmacists to prescribe some forms of birth control, which is a change in state law that currently only allows physicians and advanced practice nurses to provide the prescriptions. So it was all lawmakers, with the exception of 11 Republicans, voted for the measure. And it's to dispense hormonal contraceptives And the, you know, the reason why this is helpful is because it takes away another step. It's easier to go see a pharmacist sometimes than it is to see a doctor.
Sure.
And so after prescribing the contraceptive, the pharmacist would be required to send a report to the patient's primary care practitioner. So they're in the loop. But pharmacists who are morally opposed to birth control would not be required to prescribe it, which I think is the same thing with Plan B, that they don't have to. Because wasn't this some of the situations that came out, like Walgreens was not forcing pharmacists to...
Yes.
Provide service for certain requests.
I want to meet a pharmacist who refuses to dispense Viagra. On moral grounds.
I wonder if they're out there.
On moral, for just for moral reasons.
I wonder if there's any women out there, like women pharmacists out there who, like, part of the reason they became pharmacists was vindictive enough to be like, I think your heart's not good enough for this, sir. I'm making the call that morally I'm opposed to this.
I'm doing this for your own good.
Yeah. You know, you should not be able to, you know, this is not safe for you.
Right.
I know better.
Exactly.
But I don't think they're totally off the hook, because certainly the three groups who registered as opposed to this bill include Pro-Life Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Catholic Conference, and Wisconsin Family Action. So there certainly is a cohort that is opposed to birth control and would like it to not be readily available.
They would like it to not be available, period. And I don't think those efforts are going to stop. I don't.
Well, which is interesting, because also last night in Wisconsin, Democrats introduced a bill that would prohibit lawmakers from banning birth control in Wisconsin. Now, I don't know if this one will have bipartisan support, but it's being introduced after a year, you know, a year after Dobbs happened and our abortion ban took effect. And so the push is, you know, rooted in exactly that fear that, you know, supporters of contraception access thinks that there are people in the government who would like to make this less available. And so they're trying to ensure that it is, there's a right to it.
That's never going to pass. It's never going to pass.
Yeah, probably. I would say probably not.
No.
But at least they're trying. At least it's been proposed.
It's something, right? We got to take our little wins where we can.
We got to take our wins where we can. So other good news for people who are pregnant is that a new federal law protecting the rights of pregnant workers is poised to take effect at the end of the month. So on June 27th, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act is going to take effect, and it's a major advancement for the rights of pregnant workers. So it's the first in more than four decades.
Wow.
That they've had an extension of rights of pregnant people while they're working. And so the good news is that it has the potential to increase women's labor force participation over the long term, because as of right now, a lot of women, when they're pregnant, if they don't have certain accommodations made for them, they just quit. And because they're, and this obviously affects women who, it's like more labor intensive work. But so this was signed by President Biden at the end of last year, and it requires employers who have more than 15 employees to provide reasonable accommodations to pregnant workers, as well as those recovering from childbirth and those who need to pump at work. So this, some of the examples are: a pregnant warehouse worker might need light duty if a doctor has restricted the amount of weight the employee can lift. A retail worker may need extra bathroom breaks or to carry a bottle of water on the store floor. A cashier might ask to sit on a stool while working. And, you know, I can attest to this. You need to go to the doctor a lot when you're pregnant.
No
like
doubt.
I'm still at the once a month schedule, but pretty soon, like, that goes to like every 2 weeks and then like every one, like once a week. And so
she should just move in with you.
Yeah. And so the need to be able to be flexible, because it's not like you can, like, the doctor's not always that flexible about when you can get in. And so this also includes wearing, you know, what uniforms and clothes they can wear at work. And employers can claim hardship if they really can't make anything work. But the predicted impact is pretty big, because there's 2.8 million women a year who are pregnant on the job. And that's 70% of all pregnant women in the U.S.
Wow.
Which is really is interesting. And so in other words, this law has a potential to help millions of women, you know, who are attached to the workforce stay working. And it also, I think, has implications for, you know, like postpartum working and stuff like that, if there's more accommodations that can now have to be made. So that's some good news.
Well, yeah, get her a stool. I mean, a groundbreaking. Gee, she can sit down.
I just would love the arguments of like, sorry, we can't have you sitting.
No stool for you.
Like the conversations that happen with people and their managers of just like, you can't carry a water bottle with you.
It like,
I'm
bad.
Sorry.
Yeah, bad look.
Like all of those things that listed as examples feel like very reasonable. I mean, because like, I guess maybe if you're taking time off work to go to the doctor, but none of those seem like, is this really impacting the bottom line that you're not going to let me do this? You'd rather me just quit entirely?
Right.
Okay. That's logical. All right. Well, go ahead.
If you have a small business and you can't afford a stool, call me. Well, I'll get you one.
All right. So the bad, and it's not good. American students' test scores in math and reading got significantly worse last year. And this is continuing a decade-long freefall. So the decline in math scores last year was the biggest in the past 50 years.
Wow.
According to a newly released federal report. And the findings come from a test known as the Nation's Report Card. And it's like a continuous assessment of 13-year-old students. And so math and reading scores have been declining since 2012. And average scores are now lower than they were before the pandemic. And the lowest performing students scored at levels that, like they're as bad as when they first started recording this data in 1970.
That's crazy.
But what's interesting, as we talk about public schools, private schools, poverty, you know, different demographics and who's faring well, scores declined among all racial and ethnic groups, among both male and female students, and across urban, suburban, and rural areas. So this is just, there's not like one group, like this is bad across the board.
Wow.
And, you know, I think it's still attributed to learning loss during COVID, but, and it's not, you know, we have so many fights in Wisconsin. It's like voucher schools versus public schools and funding and stuff like that. But this is national. This is everywhere. And I don't know. I would love to talk to an education expert to be like, what? Because we're not high on the list anymore as far as like good public education globally.
And we used to be.
And we used to be. And it's like, what are other countries doing that we're just not?
I'm just, does no one read books anymore?
Well, that's part of one of the things that they found in this is that the decline of young people reading for fun.
That's tragic. I just think that's tragic.
And did you read a lot as a kid?
I did. And first of all, my parents read to us.
Oh yeah, my parents read to us.
And
too.
I have very specific memories of sitting in Dad's lap and having him read to me. And then they got me the whole series of Dr. Seuss books when I was really, really little. And Mom we went to the library once a week. It was a thrill for me to get three books. I grew up in a small town that allowed me to travel in my head. So I was always excited about reading, and I know that's not like that for everybody, but we're missing something. Do moms and dads not read to their babies anymore?
I don't know, because, you know, it's like we were definitely read to. I was not a huge, like, my go-to thing when I was bored was not to pick up a book.
Okay.
It's still not that, I would say. Like, I read a lot of news. My like, shooting of myself is constantly to read more books, and I mean, I do read books, but, like, I know people who just consume books. And for me, I've always, like, as I've gotten older, been like, it's like part of my ADHD of just like sitting still has not always been my forte. But it is interesting. I remember having friends in school who would get in trouble for reading their book during lessons. Like they'd be reading their R.L. Stein or their Goosebumps and stuff like that when they were supposed to be paying attention. But yeah, it's and I don't know if this is tied with social media and all the different things and all the different ways and like gaming and video games and stuff, because it's certainly not that they're necessarily going out and just playing with friends, but not good. Definitely not good. And then finally, last headline, the whoopsie-daisy / the inexcusable. Bad U.S. accounting is good for Ukraine. So after discovering a major error in its accounting, the Pentagon realized it could send another $6.2 billion worth of weapons to Ukraine without having to ask Congress for more aid cash. The oopsie that the Pentagon described into the Washington Post as valuation errors first came to light last month, but then it was only considered to be $3 billion Pentagon got their math wrong again. So how do you just get like a rounding error of six? Like as we're squabbling in Wisconsin right now over our $7 billion surplus and how it should be spent and like how much money it is. And then like, you know, you got a lot of money when like $6 billion is a rounding error that you're like, oh, well, hey, we got it wrong.
Ain't no big
Sorry.
Thing. Happens all the time.
Happens all
and,
the time.
And apparently with the Pentagon, it does happen all the time.
And apparently we're just okay with it. Someone responded, some of the feedback I've gotten on the video I made about childcare, you know, inevitably it's like, well, why should I have to work harder so other families can, afford to send their kids hard? It's like, no one's telling you have to work harder. Like this is tax dollars you're already paying. This has nothing to do with like a tax increase. But then there's stuff like this happens. It's like, are you upset about this? Like your taxpayers pay for that too.
Right.
And like when they just make huge mistakes like this, where's your outrage about that?
How about the outrage of the $6.5 million that American taxpayers spent for the John Durham report, which turned out to contain absolutely nothing?
How much did we pay for Gableman? What's the bill so
that
far?
Was $2 million. $2 million.
There you go. Well, some of us are very angry about that, at least. Not enough of us, but still angry about that. All right, when we come back, three headlines and a lie. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising.
This incredible offer ends June 30th.
Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
For today, sunshine and a high near 91. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 66. Slight chance of a storm Friday, otherwise mostly sunny, and again a high near 91. For Friday night, slight chance of a storm, low of 67. Some scattered storms Saturday with a high near 90. With weather, I'm Corey Hartman.
It's 67 right now.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And this is a friendly reminder to download our new fancy app on your phone. The Civic Media app is updated and new and very functional and for both Apple and Android. And we highly recommend that you go download it so you're never caught. You're never caught without us.
And if you are older like me, you can do this because I can do this. If I can figure out how to download the Civic Media app and use it, anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it. And so when you download it, you have access to all of our radio stations, both the country music stations, all the news talk stations. You can, you know, a lot of our show airs everywhere, but some of the other shows are only on couple stations. So as you pick your favorite shows, even if you're not in the region where you can pick it up on a radio, doesn't matter because you got the app.
And isn't there a little button where you can just send a text?
Not only that, you can also call. So when you're on any given station's page on the app, there is a button to email us, to call us, or to text us, or go to that station's website right from your phone. More information.
It's pretty snappy.
It is pretty snappy. So that is our daily plug for you to go download the app. And then as always, if you miss any part of today's show, you can always go listen to it as a podcast.
And you mentioned in the last break about the TikTok that you made about childcare in Wisconsin. I highly recommend that you watch it if you haven't seen it. What is it, 174,000 views?
215.
Wow.
As of this morning.
Wow.
And it's interesting. I mean, TikTok doesn't give you great data on like where people live who are watching the video. Mm-hmm. But at least anecdotally looking at the comments, it's been a lot of people who have commented are people who own childcare facilities in Wisconsin.
I'm sure.
Or who are parents who this has affected. And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into it too much today, but a national report finds that $232 million in parental wages could be lost in Wisconsin without child care counts.
Just in Wisconsin.
So basically, yeah, just in Wisconsin. So that is...
not good.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of money that could be in the economy that won't be because we don't want to fund something that would help a lot of people.
Suck it up, mom and dad.
But that's not what we're going to talk about this segment. What we're going to do this segment is have some fun and do three headlines and a lie where we go through four different headlines. Three of them are real. One is fake. And Jane gets to pick which one she thinks is the fake one. All right. Number one, California restaurant had fake priest hear workers' confessions, Labor Department says.
I know that's true.
Okay. Number two, cash-strapped Taliban selling tickets to ruins of Buddha's It Blew Up. Oh,
I would buy that.
Okay.
I would buy that.
Number three.
Do you remember when they did that?
When they blew up the Buddhas?
It was heart-wrenching.
When was that?
This was 15 years ago. But I mean, these Buddha statues had been in Afghanistan for centuries. And so they literally blew them to smithereens because it was idolatry or something.
And then you can, and now potentially, well, I don't know, it could be the fake one.
True.
So I won't say that yet.
Okay.
All right. Number three, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro credits Wawa's Hoagie Fest promotion with expediting the I-95 rebuild.
You mean mean the freeway that just...
The freeway that just collapsed from the burning... Was it a burning truck?
Burning semi.
The semi. Because it is funny. I saw a different headline with that of like how fast they're going to be able to prepare it. And in comparison to the 30 years it would take to build new train routes.
Right.
Because Americans just love their cars.
Yes, we do.
All right. And then number four, a Price is Right contestant celebrated so hard he dislocated his shoulder.
That's also plausible.
They're all pretty plausible. Okay. Which one? So you know that the first one is, I'm going to go through them again. Okay. But you already said that you know that the first one is real. But the first one was California restaurant had fake priest hear workers' confessions, Labor Department says. Number two, cash-strapped Taliban selling tickets to ruins of Buddhas, it blew up. Number three, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro credits Wawa's Hoagie Fest promotion with expediting I-95 rebuild. And number four, a Price is Right contestant celebrated so hard he dislocated his shoulder.
I will go with the Hoagie Fest as the lie.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
You got it right. That Yay. One is not, that real. One is made up. But indeed, California restaurant had fake priest hear workers' confessions.
To try and get them to admit what? That they were illegal or?
I don't know. A California restaurant had an individual impersonate a priest to encourage employees to confess their sins against their employer. But the man has no links with the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento, a diocese spokesman said. It sounds like he, I mean, maybe they thought someone was stealing. And so they thought,
let's bring
this
priest
in.
Nothing immoral
about that,
by the
way. That's quite the assumption of how religious you think your employees are, that they would feel guilty enough that they have to confess to a priest that they don't actually ever see, let alone, I mean, just imagining some of these people just not being Catholic at all and being like, why are you having me talk to this guy? But so that one's real. And yeah, cash-strapped Taliban selling tickets to ruins of Buddhas, it blew up.
Are there a lot of tourists in Afghanistan?
I don't know. That's a good question as far as how many people are trying. The only person I know who has gone to Afghanistan willingly is a friend of mine's brother, who his life mission was to go to every single country. And he has. He did it. But like some of those countries, like Sudan, and like there was the stories of him getting into those countries sometimes was didn't sound fun.
Yeah, I bet so it was pretty hairy.
He's the only person I think I know who's gone to Afghanistan as like a vacation versus
wartime.
Humanitarian. I'm from like family there. But then and then finally, yes, indeed, a Price is Right contestant did celebrate so hard that he dislocated his shoulder.
Now, a fridge is a very exciting thing.
You know? I don't blame him.
Exactly.
Free stuff.
Except for the taxes you have to pay on the stuff.
Yeah, that's true. All right. When we come back, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for this week's edition of Public Service Announcement. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. So I'll settle for one day to believe in you. Tell me, tell me lies. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.